Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Perestivopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two Orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Welcome, everybody, back to The Fighting Priest. My name is Father Ted Perestivopoulos, and as usual, I am here with my co-host, Father Thomas Sandberg, up in Calgary, coming into the spring slowly. Father Thomas, how's it going up in Calgary? Well, I don't want to see how the weather is, because we had Caroline on a few episodes ago. She goes, you guys always ask about the weather.
Well, the weather's nice.
The weather's nice, really. Did you get spring yet, or what?
I don't know. It's, you know, Calgary weather is strange. Like Sunday, it was plus 11, and then yesterday, it was minus 14. So,
okay, well, and we're not in spring.
Yeah, I'm not sure what today is. It's supposed to, I think it's supposed to get warm again. It'll be plus 5 maybe tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But the sun is out, and it's beautiful outside if you like crisp mornings, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's like it's February, like as we record this now, it's February 15th. So, Valentine's Day was yesterday. And even here in Toronto, it's like 13 degrees today. It's unheard of for February. This whole, like, we had this big, they called it the polar vortex, whatever, last week, where we had like 3 days where it was like minus 20 and like minus 23. But that was like the coldest it went all year. It's been pretty mild here. We've only had like two big snowfalls. And then this week it's all pluses. It's all like plus 6, plus 5, whatever. Everything's melted. So everything's quite nice now. And I don't know if March will bring in anything else, but if this is kind of the beginning of the spring, we never even saw winter this year. So
I'm not definitely had winter here.
I know you did. You had it early.
Yeah, this year definitely was colder, really, really cold sooner. And then the Chinooks came in, whereas last year got cold later. See, I'm going to the mountains tomorrow because it's me and my wife's 10-year anniversary. So
we're going
to the mountains tomorrow.
10 year of the marriage.
Yeah, 10 years. Isn't that crazy? You married us 10 years ago.
I married you. That's true.
Yeah, you married us.
10 years.
10 years. That's crazy.
That's true. Because I've been here 8.5 in Toronto. And we were in Winnipeg. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Good. Congratulations.
Yeah. We're going to go away from Thursday to Saturday. But then I saw the schedule. I'm like, oh, no, that's Psycho Sabato. So, okay. Just go away for 2 days, one night. But it'll be nice. Going to the mountains is always refreshing to the soul.
I bet the closest I'm gonna get is Monday, because it's family weekend this weekend, so the closest I'm gonna get is two being with the kids on Monday. So we go up north, like north 40 minutes north, big deal, but it's like a little bit of mountain range there, and they have like a professional tubing place. So, you know, it's fresh. Hopefully they'll still have like fake snow, because it'll be warm, and that'll be fun. And, you know, get fresh air.
So no training on Monday?
No, everything's shut down on Monday. There's probably gonna be open mats everywhere.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna be with the kids, and we're going with our kumbadi, with Angelo's godparents and their kids. So we'll be gone for most of the day. So I doubt I'm gonna roll at night, because I'll be exhausted after that. And no training on Monday. But this week I'm back, because I was off last week. I had a cold, so I didn't train at all, which is the whole worst thing ever. And then you come back and you're all sluggish and stuff. And
you trained yesterday for Valentine's Day?
I trained Monday, Tuesday, today. So yeah, it was full. I'm like, oh, it's like, man, we all got horrible family lives. Like all these people are training, men and women. It was packed. The dojo was packed last night. So I guess not a lot of people are doing Valentine's.
Yeah, that's like when Craig Jones makes those videos about like the people who are actual functioning members of society come in the mornings or at lunch or whatever, and then like he says the losers with no lives come in the evening, no one who loves them, and it's like okay, calm down. My wife lets me train.
That's right. Yeah,
doing this training in evenings before we ever had kids, so it's just part of the. It's just part of the.
Of course, right? Of course. But yeah, I get it. Like, no, I was never a big Valentine's Day guy, anyways, even like from young. So I don't really care too much about it. And my wife was sick anyway, so she's got this trap. So
plus, St. Valentine and the Orthodox calendar is in July, isn't it? That's his feast day is in July, I think, actually.
Valentinos, I think so.
July.
I have to look it up. It's ambiguous in the Orthodox whether there's a St. Valentine. I have to look it up.
Yeah.
But nice. Well, yeah. So I came back hard this week and maybe I'm trying to do like every day, actually, not to overdo it, but just to kind of like get back in the groove, like even lightly. So, cause I feel like even a week off, I don't feel great afterwards coming back. So, and speaking of that, you know, the topic that we wanted to kind of discuss today, just the two of us, we don't have a guest today, but, you know, was like this idea of, you know, discipline for longevity, you know, like training smart and training humble, you know, cause this is a topic that comes up, like we've touched on it a little bit in the past, but you know, we haven't really gone super, super much into depth with it, but you know, everybody knows who trains jiu-jitsu that you can have injuries, and injuries are normal sometimes, but sometimes they're your fault. Like you train too hard, you don't know how to moderate, you don't know how to roll like light or flow, and you're always going like super hard all the time. Everybody's got those people in the gyms where they're always getting injured because they're always like fighting as if it's to the death. Well, you know what I mean? Like there's no, and also like burnout. I think there's such a thing as like some people, I don't know. You tell me, like I've heard different jiu-jitsu practitioners say like that there is no such thing as burnout. It's like, oh, you know, you should train every day and you know, you'll never get too tired and you'll never like get whatever. I don't know. Like you'll never burn yourself out, but I don't know. I think there's a possibility. Depends on the person. What do you think?
It's weird. I think you should train every day. Like I can't train every day anymore like I used to because of my schedule. Craig Jones, the B team, them, Danner, all those guys who came out of that training philosophy, they train every day. But the difference is they don't train the same intensity every day.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I was getting at.
That's how you can get around it. Like, if there are days when your nervous system is going to be fried if you're training super hard every day.
Mm-hmm.
So then you'll take like a light day or maybe then just pick white belts to roll with, right?
Yeah, okay. But here's some other factors. Maybe you can tell me what you think. Like, it's not the same. Like, okay, guys who like train like Craig Jones and Gordon Ryan, all these guys, they're professionals. They do this like full time. They do nothing else. Most of them, okay? So if you're only doing that and that is your life and that is your full-time profession, then yes, you can, you know, you're making money first of all off of it. You're eating, you're like on a very strict regimen of like what you eat, how, you know, what you drink, how you train. You know, a lot of these people have personal private, you know, trainers. They're doing weightlifting. They're doing, they're doing a lot of different stuff. So they're able to like moderate their training and it's not the same all the time. That is not the same, in my opinion, as a person, like a normal person who is not doing jiu-jitsu full-time and who has a job, which is other stresses on top of training, who has a family. A lot of these guys have no family, have no kids. Some of them do, but like a lot of these guys, the young guys, the competitors do not have any semblance of a family life, right? So you're taking it like I think there's a difference between training every day when you're full-time and your whole like mind and your whole attention is there, as opposed to somebody who is training every day, but on top of that is doing a full-time job, paying the bills, watching their children, have the family life, their wives, they may have other, you know, things, you know, other family priorities, you know, grandparents, parents, whatever. Right. I don't know. I think that plays a factor. It's not the same.
Oh, I agree.
You know, so
I trained with a full-time job before I had kids, like 6 days a week, because except for Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It also depends on your job. Like that was not as stressful as being a priest, like being a welder or working in construction. Whereas being a priest, there's days when at the end of the day, plus my personality, because I need a lot of alone time, right? Like as the listeners know, I go hiking by myself. Climb mountains by myself. I've been backpacking alone for multiple days. Like I need that time to myself. So sometimes as a priest, by the end of the day, your body's not tired, but mentally or emotionally, you're just like, Like I'm a volunteer with Alberta Health Services, and one of the training sessions, like continuing education thing, was about compassion fatigue.
Yes.
And sometimes when you feel that going on, like you don't want to become apathetic to people's concerns. So all those things play in a factor for me more than my body. Like, yeah, I get injured and stuff, but you can just tape it up or keep going. Whereas when you're emotionally or mentally burnt out from life, from a stressful job, I don't think there's much you can do except for just go for a walk, spend time alone, stuff like that, contemplate. But yeah, definitely the stress, like having, especially you with three kids, that's totally different than just no kids or one kid.
Yeah, and yours is not in school yet. So yeah. It's like, there's a stress, of course, the little one, but it's different when the programs start and then you got to start taking them places and picking them up. And it just fills up your, like, I agree with you. Like, we had that, remember we had that episode, I think it was in our first season, where we talked about introverts and extroverts. Yeah. And that was I love that episode because it was like, oh, you know, I believe that my whole life I've been more of an introvert, even though I force myself to be an extrovert just because of the sake of the job that I do and the things that I'm involved in, right? I never really took a hard look at why I get so exhausted by people, right? So that definitely plays a factor. But I think just even physical, though, it's like, I don't know, like training, I train between four and five times a week, right? So not six, but 4 or 5 times a week, which is a lot for almost a 42-year-old who has three kids. And I find that, yeah, like by the time I train, which is always 90% of the time, it's in the evenings, right? Like sometimes I'll do a morning, but the evenings I'm already exhausted by the end of the day because I've already done a full day of church. Well, you know, your day starts, you know, it starts at 6 a.m. in the morning because that's the time the kids get up. So, and it's not like quiet mornings. It's like get up, feed them breakfast, make their lunches, pack their lunches, yell at them, get them dressed, right? Make your beds, do this. So already you're exhausted just from the mental yelling and screaming and trying to get them, drop them off at school, run off to the church to do whatever. You're going to do liturgy, funerals, whatever, and then run back, pick them up. And then that whole process starts again of like, you know, the nonstop, right? So you take them home, unpack the bags, clean the things, give them snacks, make them dinner. Of course, you do this in tandem with the wife, but like for me, my wife's a teacher. So those like high pressure times, I guess you could call them, you know, which I call high pressure times, like the mornings, getting ready for school and picking up from school, those two times, those are like high pressure. And those I'm alone because my wife has to go to work. She has to go to school. She's a teacher. She can't be there at the time, right? She has to start work at the same time. She can't pick them. I take them to school, I pick them up, right? Which is great. I love that. But it's also the pressure time because by the time she gets home, already I've taken the kids home, unpacked them, given them their snack, done all this, started the homework because you got to get the homework done before jiu-jitsu, right? Because that's our deal. It's like you got to get your homework done, right? No iPads, no this, no TV, no nothing until you get your homework done, right? So you got to, it's like this pressure time where it's like get you in the house, unpack your stuff, feed you lunch, feed you snacks or early dinner sometimes, right? That early because they're hungry and it's better to get them fed early before they go to jiu-jitsu, right? And then it's like, then it's, so between like 3 and 5 when we leave for jiu-jitsu, those 2 hours, it's pandemonium. So by the time you get like to, by the time, then you get to jiu-jitsu, right? You watch them and, you know, you're there for another hour and a half, an hour 45, then you take them home. And you change like a crazy person. You get back to the dojo at 8 p.m. to train from 8 to 9:30. And so you're already, talk about your nervous system being shot. Like you're already, all you want to do is sleep, right? Like, and now you got to train. So that's my experience. Now, the other people who have just as busy schedules, right? I'm not the only one who does that. It's intense, right? So you have to like, I don't know, like training every single day. I love to do it too. And I have done it some weeks where it just happened to be like that. But I think when you're that tired or you have that many other things on top of training, it can make you prone to injuries, in my opinion. Like, because your body is more tired. And so I find that you get injured when you're really tired and you're trying to go hard or you're trying to even keep up. And also when your mind is not there or your mind is tired, you make careless mistakes. Like you're not as sharp.
Yeah.
So I think the training, it depends. It depends. It's not the same for everybody. It depends on what, you know, what your life is like, your personal life and things like that. So I wouldn't tell everybody train every day. Like some people say train every day. It's like, well, depends. Like
that's what I tell people to do that. Like
you know, I love to train every day, man. That would be like, that's a dream come true. Like not hard all the time, but.
Yeah, I just tell them to train every day. Like, obviously, I can't, but I say if you're able to, I tell everyone to train every day.
Yeah, if you're able to, but if you can't,
you gotta listen to your body. Sometimes, yeah, like you're like when I hurt my hand here, it's in December, it's still messed up, so gotta take it easy. Now I go hard again, I just tape it up, but I'm gonna have to go
see. Did you break anything?
I don't know what's going on. This knuckle is weird. I'm gonna have to go to physio. Like the problem is, I have no time to do that. So,
because I told you, I think I broke my thumb, right?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's not 100%. But you know, see that bump there? It's a little bit bump. It healed. It's not 100%. It's sore. My grips are not, you know, on my left hand, but there was a crack. But you know.
Well, I never have no crack, so that's good.
Oh, I had a crunch.
Yeah.
But, you know. It seems to be good. My doctor's like, yeah, you really want to go for x-rays? He goes, you know, yeah, it could be cracked. I don't think it's broken because you wouldn't have range of motion and you have way more worse, like swelling and stuff and whatever. If you're not going to do anything, you want to put in a splint for what? Like, it's like you need your hand.
Illness, injuries and illness is strange because sometimes if you don't get x-rays and MRI, and it's something bad, it's like you'll be fine. But as soon as you get those results, all of a sudden,
psychologically,
yeah. Like when they do studies, for example, on people with neck, like you know, in the States, they do a lot of spinal fusions, right? Mm-hmm. People have a lot of back pain. I read an article in Forbes of all places, they say, but most people who get these surgeries, even after they're done, the pain is still there, like right. Whereas you'll have other people, they'll go in for an MRI for some other reason. And the doctor's like, whoa, you have this vertebrae, this. And the guy's like, totally fine, right?
Who cares, yeah.
I remember I won the Toronto BJJ. There was a guy, he used to do judo. And I guess he went in for something that was bothering him. And then I guess get an MRI. And the doctor's like, dude, your neck, you've had this, and this happen to you. And he's like, I wouldn't have known. I've been fine, right? So it's... But then some people, yeah, when you get that MRI, then all of a sudden the switch goes, oh, I have this pain, and everything goes downhill from there. So sometimes it's just better not. It's just if you can function, it's good. Like it's not life setting you back. That's one thing people too. Like I don't worry about getting injured because like you know how many people are injured from sitting on their couches doing nothing for their whole lives? Like my grandfather, I love my grandfather. God bless him wherever he is now in the afterlife. And once he retired, he sat on that couch smoking cigarettes. And my grandmother and him, they used to have a TV that had the remote, and she would get up to change the channels. So like years of like decades until finally got a remote, but still he's not getting up. Then he quit smoking. But and then you end your life, this big man, but you have no muscle, and like it's you know, this person you see when you're a kid, that when you're an adult who knows about health and strength and fighting, and you see this man who at the end of his life was not the same man that he was that you knew, right? And that's all just some lifestyle choices. So it's
yeah, like, it was completely avoidable, right?
I'd rather be sore and injured from doing something that helps you emotionally, mentally, socially, physically, even if sometimes you're hurting.
I agree.
Everyone's hurting. Yeah, everyone's
sore. Everyone's hurting, but it's a different type of hurt. I agree with you. It's I may be sore all the time, but it's a good sore. It's not sore in here, in your brain, like in your heart. You know, I agree. My wife's like, why are you sore all the time? Doesn't bother you? I'm like, no, I'm used to it now. And it doesn't make you upset. I'm like, no, it's actually good. It's like, I don't know. It doesn't make me feel upset at all.
No, there's people who have like neck problems. Like my neck hurts, theirs hurts, but like at least I know why mine hurts. It's more like when you don't know why. It's like, yeah, because you have all these muscle imbalances from sitting around or being inactive and sedentary.
Sure. Yeah. So along those lines, though, you said you're not really afraid of getting injured, but like, do you take any, like, do you actively take any precautions, or do you have any type of, I know you're going to say, well, eat healthy and lift weights and things like that, but like beyond that, like, do you actively do anything to avoid injuries, or do you just like go and train and whatever happens, happens?
Yeah, I just go and train. Like, there's different philosophies. Like, some people think, oh, you shouldn't do this when you train, or this and this. Like, you shouldn't pull guys backwards over their own feet. You shouldn't.
The knees. Yeah.
Yeah. You shouldn't enter the legs this way. I'm like, I disagree with all of that. I think that it's, if you don't want to get hurt, then go play soccer or do something else. Like, cause you can only compete or fight the way you train. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. There are definitely some people, you know, like there's certain people you can do all that with, and there's other people you can't. And right. Like, maybe the guy who's in his late 50s, maybe don't do that, especially if he's only starting jiu-jitsu, right?
Well, yeah, and the only thing I'll push back there is that there are different types at the gym, right? There are competitors, there are hobbyists, right? And you have a hobbyist who has a family and kids, or maybe they need their joints. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't have a problem with being, understanding of those things. Like, I try to be a
Yeah, then I just try not to train with those guys.
Well, yeah, but even if I do train, because I like to train with everybody, and I like to be a good training partner, and I'm not always going to
go out. Oh, yeah, I don't say no if people like that want to train with me, but I don't seek them out, because I'm not going to get the training I need.
Correct, yeah. I'm just saying that sometimes, I'm not going to go out of my way also in the dojo where I'm there to train. I'm not always competing in the dojo. There are roles where I want to see how good I am.
And there...
I am going to be careful that I don't want to unnecessarily injure somebody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know, knowing how good I am or being pushed to the point where, so I can be the best I can be, is good, but I have to balance that with the well-being of others. Like, I don't want to pull people over their knees because I know that most people do not know how to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to blow out their knee. I'm not going to knee reap, because most people will get hurt.
In the gi, it's like I just kind of go by IBJJF rules, unless it's like self-defense, right?
Sure.
And then but in no-gi, right, if you're training with me in no-gi and you're not wearing a ranked rash guard, then I just assume that, okay, then you're agreeing that everything is legal. Mm-hmm. Right, you're wearing, and I'm just assuming you're a black belt, or at least you're willing to go by black belt rule. Because most people know no-gi is definitely everything's allowed,
mm-hmm.
Like, especially now. Like, no-gi is definitely, I would say, the more tougher version of jiu-jitsu, because there's more submissions allowed, more dangerous submissions allowed. The pace is faster, and it's a less babyish form of jiu-jitsu, as in my opinion, I've noticed. And the people who gravitate towards it as well are more, right? And especially now, the technical advancements in no-gi is, I knew a black belt once, or a brown belt, who said back in the days, like, no-gi is like checkers and the gi is like chess. And it's like, that is so untrue. In the gi, guys like hold on and stall, and they care about advantages, and they have no takedowns. Right, they have no leg locks. It's a very low form of jiu-jitsu, right? They probably have no self-defense, whereas in no-gi, you need to know all that. You can't just sit down and grab a sleeve, right? Definitely guys sit down in no-gi, but they're sitting down and entering your legs, and then you're going to be crippled. So I think it's like, you just have to know your training partners. And if you don't want to get hurt in no-gi, wear a ranked rash guard so everyone knows what rank you are.
That makes sense. It's fair.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah, because it's not fair to higher belt. If you're coming to a no-gi class and it's like, man, and you're going hard, I have no idea what rank you are until we roll. Then you can kind of gauge it. Like, okay, this guy's probably a purple belt or something. Sure. Some people will tell you right away. That's okay. And I know, right? If you tell me you're white or blue belt, then it's fine.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm sticking to the gi, my friend. Nice and slow for the old man that I am.
I thought you did no gi sometimes now.
I did a little bit, man, but I suck really bad. I'm not fast enough. I'm not agile enough. I'm too fat. You know, I'm not technical enough. Like, maybe one day, but, you know, it's, yeah, no, it's definitely not my, I know you like it more, but I definitely like the gi more.
In no gi, it doesn't matter if you're fat or agile. It matters more the technical stuff. Because you can't just.
Oh, I disagree. As a fat guy, I disagree. It does matter. Okay. You can't bolo as well when you have a big midsection. Trust me. Okay. You don't know that because you've never had a big belly.
No, but I have. Okay. There's lots of other training partners I've had who have bellies and.
Yeah, I don't know. Weight and nature. Can't bolo as well. You can't. There's mechanics. There are, but you can be the most technical guy, but you're going to have to augment your game a little bit because there are certain moves that you need to be a little thinner to do, which is fine. It is what it is though. It's like, yeah, like I can't invert like another guy. I can invert sometimes, but I have great difficulty doing like rolling up like an armadillo to do effective inversions and bolos from the bottom. I can do bolos from the top, you know, cause you know, you got gravity, you can do it, right? The technique, but as far as
That's how I started doing bolos was from the top, from entering off the side like that.
Yeah.
That was not flexible either because, like, do you know the lotus position when you're like, you cross your legs? I could never do that. So when people say like, oh, I can't do this, it's like, yeah, well, you can over time. It's just some people.
Over time.
I was not flexible. And even now I'm not as flexible as I'd like to be, but you just got to work on it.
Sure.
The thing is, you got to know if you're not flexible or you're stiff, there's certain things you shouldn't do because you'll force it. And then that's
when
your disc will slip or whatever. So you got to be careful. And even inverting, you got to make sure you go over your shoulders, not your neck, because that's how you hurt your neck.
Yes. But you need to be able to curl in a certain way, right?
Yeah.
You try things out and you do your best. And you have to take all that stuff into account, right? It's like, And injuries and all that kind of things, right? Like, I don't know, like, I started later than you did. Like, how old were you when you started jiu-jitsu? 2011? So.
And 27, or no, maybe I was 27.
Which is still old in the jiu-jitsu world, right? But it's still 10 years younger than I was when I started. I started at 38, right?
Yeah.
So, and now, but now you're 30, how old are you now?
38.
You're 38, right? So how do you feel like now the training, like as far as training, you're in good shape though, but do you notice a difference 10 years later with your body, like how you train, or is it the same?
I think it's the same.
It's the same. Yeah, you look the same.
Like, and before, like now, right now, I don't have a family doctor here in Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, a lot of people in Canada don't. That's not the reason why. I just haven't searched one. I didn't have no need to. But in Manitoba, I did. And for years, so I'd always get my testosterone checked. I always cared about that. And my doctor, because I don't really eat meat, my doctor wanted to keep track of my iron and zinc and stuff like that. But everything was always good. And then, like, as my years went on, like they say, those 4 years I was in seminary, my testosterone every year was actually going higher.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would mean that as I acquired more knowledge of health and nutrition and martial arts and efficiency and all that type of stuff and recovery, then your body works better.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was talking with a guy yesterday that I trained with, and he's 48. He said he only noticed all of a sudden when he turned 45, he noticed a total difference in his overall well-being. I don't know if he gets blood work done. If I was 45 and I noticed a drastic difference, like, night and day, I would go and get blood work done, right?
Sure.
And no, I'm not saying like guys should go on TRT. I think going on TRT is stupid. Like, guys, especially now, a lot of guys, you see that a lot on the internet, they talk about it a lot. It's so unnecessary. Like, no offense, Tom DeBlast, I think isn't he younger than me? And he's on TRT. It's like, okay, dude, what are you doing with your life that you have to be on that stuff at that age? Or even like when Joe Rogan talks to stuff, right? Joe Rogan likes to talk down a lot about vegetarian lifestyles and how he eats this and does that. First of all, like when he was hunting, he has a guide. So disqualification. Number two, he's on TRT and growth hormone. So it's like, okay, I'll take what you have to say about health and nutrition a little bit, but if you're saying to eat and do this way, but you doing that led to you needing to be on TRT and growth hormone, then maybe you should take a step back and reevaluate what you're doing. Because there's definitely, like Deacon John, he's a doctor. He said that he thinks TRT or HRT is, especially now, it's like the way opiates were in Florida back in the day. Like you just handed them out. Like it's like the new thing. And I guess in 10 years, we'll see all the health consequences that come from that. So I think you need to just be aware of your body. I would say I'm not as strong as I used to be, but that's also because I don't lift weights like I used to, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one difference. I would say I probably get injured less, but that's also probably because knowing movement and body, like my own body and stuff like that. Even though currently it seems like I'm always injured because like at Thanksgiving, my sprain my LCL and December, my pinky, my right hand. But see, overall, I definitely have less injuries or little tweaks and stuff.
Yeah, because you learn, right? And you become more cognizant of your body and how to move around people, right?
Yeah. I always worried in my 30s. I remember I had some guys who said, once you turn 30, everything goes down. Like they believed in this, you know, your hormones going down once you're 30. So I always worried about that. And then as I got older in my 30s, I was like, okay, no. It's like, what are you doing in your lifestyle, right? If you're eating poorly, you know, and all you're doing is jujitsu with no type of thought to recovery or stretching or diet, then maybe. But overall, I think a lot of things people say is just like, it's just mindset. It's just,
well, it's everything, right? Like I think diet's a big one. You know, stretching and conditioning and things like that. It's a lifestyle that you have outside, but a diet's a big one. What you put in your body, I notice it, like, you know, the smallest things will greatly affect, like, you know, how well you feel during training. Right. So,
That's what I find weird. Like John Danaher says that in his experience, he's noticed diet doesn't matter. And I always thought
that's what he says. Yeah.
I always thought that was so strange. Like I know Gary Tonin will post about the Gary Tonin diet. And it's all like crappy food, but it's hard to say, like, is he really eating like that all the time? Like, cause I think when he starts getting in shape for an MMA fight, his diet definitely changes because his weight changes. Right.
But that's one guy though. That's what people don't understand. It's like, just because one person says something that works for them doesn't mean that you can extrapolate that to be relevant for the general population. Yes, there are people who are, you know, they're just naturally gifted physically and they have good genetics and they can eat whatever they want and they're ripped. That's how they are. And maybe John Danaher never saw a difference, or maybe like his guys, or, you know, who used to be on DDS, but like, you know, whatever, guys who are under him now, they definitely watch what they eat. Not stupid. They watch what they eat and they watch what they put in their bodies and they train, right? Like, just because he doesn't feel like it makes a difference, ask some of his top competitors, right? They don't want to just go out there and eat whatever they want. So it definitely plays a role. Now, some people, it may not, but I think as a general rule, eating clean is obviously better than eating unhealthy, right? Or smoking or drinking alcohol or doing any of these things, right?
Because you want to watch like the because obviously training increases inflammation, right? So you don't want to be eating a diet that increases inflammation as well.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, sugar, right? Acidity, things like that, right? Like it's candida, yeast in your blood, all these kind of things are really bad, right? You got to be alkaline, right?
I'm a big fan of sugar.
I know you are, but you don't abuse it though. Like sugar is not bad. Like you eat it like at appropriate times though.
Yeah,
you
it's the timing of the type of carb.
Yeah, when what your body needs, like you eat it like after you've trained, so you need to replenish your carbs, right?
Yeah, because there's definitely people, you know, like they'll drink Gatorade while they're playing video games, right? And it's like, no.
So yeah, Gatorade's generally bad for you, generally speaking.
You should drink Gatorade or Pedialyte after training or when you're rehydrating or something.
Yeah.
I know where I learned that from. I learned that from years ago before I even got into martial arts, when I was into like weightlifting, like I guess bodybuilding weightlifting, because that's all I knew when I started getting into health. I think it was Jay Cutler, right? Mr. Olympia. Jay Cutler would drink a Pepsi in between his weightlifting. So I guess it would be getting like the carbs, fast digesting carbs for the glycogen, right? In between. That's where I first learned of that. I was like, what is this? And then you read about it and So you're not drinking a 2 liter of pop throughout the day like some people do.
Right. Yeah.
Right, you can drink. That's why, like in summer, I'll drink a big Slurpee after training. If you roll, especially at open mat, 2 hours, you're totally depleted of all your glycogen.
Yeah, you can use that, right? Sure, but you're not going to have that like after a big meal in the evening and then go to bed.
Yeah,
right. This is the thing, right? Or you're not going to. Yeah, it's like you can have it after, you know, you work out. You can even have it before, but it's probably better to have it after.
Yeah, I think it's better after. I think that if you want carbs before training, you should have that the night before, right? Yeah. Or sometimes if I know it's going to be long, then like 4 hours before, I'll get some carbs in so you know it's digested. But like even right now, like this is my coffee, right, that I drink in the morning. Mm-hmm. It just has 2 oat milks in it. That's it. So whatever little bit of sugar is in the oat milk, so there's no – I don't add extra sugar to it.
Yeah. Yeah, the sugar is a big, that's the number one thing that I noticed, like cutting out sugar, like, okay, processed sugar, right? Like obviously sugar and everything, sugar in foods, but not adding sugar, like drinking coffee black, like, you know, not drinking sugar pops and things like that makes a big difference. If I drink one of those now, I feel run down instantly, not a little, not 5 minutes, not like half an hour later or 20 minutes later, like literally 5 minutes after, I feel like garbage.
No. Well, one thing I've been doing, this is speaking of sugar, I drink a Monster energy drink sometimes, most of the time before.
Do you like that? It's gross.
I don't know. I like Monster. My favorite Monster, if anyone listening can find this, please mail it to me, is the Monster oat milk that came out like 2 years ago. It's like a vegan one. It's the best. And then my sister always drank the Monster Javas as well with like cow's milk, right? And then I got her on the oat milk one. She's like, no, this is better. But now lately I can't find it. Can't find it here in Alberta. So, cause I used to drink it on road trips and stuff or before training in Winnipeg.
I can't drink Monster drinks.
Now I have the Monster, the green one with the sugar in it. So
nasty.
I do have some carbs before training right there.
I like Red Bull, though I don't drink it often, but I prefer the taste of Red Bull to Monster.
But, yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I like the Monster.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'll stick to the black iced coffee.
Oh, I like iced coffee as well, right?
Nitro cold brew. Yeah. It's a good thing, you know. It gives you enough of a little of a pep, and that's good enough. But yeah, I don't know. So like I was actually thinking about this. We were talking, and it's like, you know, longevity and not getting injured and not burning out and things like that, and different lifestyle. And somebody had asked me recently about this, but from the religious point of view, right? Because okay. You know, we do have a podcast that talks about orthodoxy too, right? So, and somebody asked me, is it possible, and I'll ask you the question, is it possible to overdo it and to burn out on spiritual exercises? Big question, you know? And I don't know, what do you think about that? I won't say what I said until I hear your answer first. Because somebody, like, it was like a young person, they're like, you know, kind of like a very zealous person. It's like, oh, I do this service at home and I do these prayers at home and I want to add more and I want to do this and that.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, is it possible to over, quote unquote, overtrain when we talk about spiritual training, asceticism, askesis, right? You know, is it possible to overtrain or not? And if so, in what instances or in what situations? That's the question.
Yeah, before you said like he was doing services at home, I thought just as like a normal lay person with like a pious.
Well, they are a normal lay person who's pious. Well,
with like a normal prayer rule, not like excessive, right? And then I would say no. As a priest, I would say yeah, because like especially here, it's not normal. Like if you look at the monasteries, right, it's not the same priest who serves every day, like they alternate, right? And even as I understand, a lot of the churches in Greece, they don't just have one priest, maybe in the Horio, but they'll have like 4 priests. So they alternate. Okay. It's not always the same priest doing every single service burning out, right? Whereas here, it's like, yeah, you're doing all the services and all the fasting and all the standing and all the pastoral work. But from a lay person perspective, I would say if you're doing all these services at home, I'd think you could burn out. My biggest worry would be you would fall into... I don't know what it's called in Greek, but in Russian, they call it prelest, like spiritual delusion.
Yes.
You're doing all this stuff like alone. as opposed to like the guidance of a hierarch or something. Like, yeah, okay. I guess sometimes you need to do reader services. I understand. But if you want to do that many services, you should probably be at a monastery.
Well, yeah. So this is the same questions that I was asking this individual, right? They're like, I was asking, okay, so what is the motivation behind it, right? And they didn't have an answer. Well, you know, they kind of floundered with the answer. It's like, you know, why? Why do you feel the need that you need to do more? I'm not saying more is bad, but why? Why do you need to do more? Like, is it so? I think this is where this idea of like, can you burn out or can you overdo it spiritually? Like, it depends. It depends on what is the spiritual presuppositions of doing it, right? If the person is doing it for the right reasons, which AKA like, you know, they really love praying and it brings them peace and it centers them and they find that they just want to do more of it. Well, then that's fine. But they're all, like you said, there's people who are kind of like in a spiritual delusion. They're doing it out of ego or pride. I want to be the best Orthodox Christian, quote unquote. I want to be more spiritual than others. Or I've heard people say, I want to attain spiritual gifts. So I'm going to pray harder and more than everybody else.
Yeah.
Right. So I can, you know, God can reveal things to me. Right. So like, if you do that, I'm pretty sure you're not going to attain any kind of spiritual gifts and you're doing it for the wrong reason. And you're going to burn out because you're just going to be doing this over and over again. Like, again, hit yourself.
Yeah. That reminds me because, so this is a Greek Orthodox church, but obviously we don't just have Greeks who come here. So I noticed like in the Romanian and in Russian tradition, there's like this, like before communion, you see all these canons and these akathists, you do all this stuff that's kind of foreign. Like we have the metalipsis service, like the little canon you add to the apolipno, to the small compline, right? Mm-hmm. And then before you receive.
Which is the preparation for Holy Communion.
Yeah, which still is, it comes from the monastery. It's still a monastic thing. Whereas they're doing like all this, you'll see, especially in Russian services. And so I've had people, if they go to like a monk for a confession or something, and he says, okay, I want you to do this, this, and this. And then they feel like they're like, it's too much for them. Like, cause it's definitely, it's like a services you do in a monastery. Like, it's like, you're doing an akathist and a canon to the Theotokos and a canon to Christ. It's like you're going to do like an hour and a half all the time on top of your other stuff you have to do, and a Combusky, like, no. Right. Yes. And they definitely, it's like a weight they can't carry. Because they're living in the world with their jobs and their husbands and wives.
Yeah, of course. We have family obligations. Yeah.
Right. So it's, yeah. And their services you do like in the parish, not alone. Like it's, of course, if you can do them alone and you're not, and it's not out of ego or pre-less spiritual delusion, then yeah, do it. But I've also, if you're doing it because you want to be a monk, well, then you should be a monk.
Or you're doing it because you have this idea that this is what a successful Christian does.
Yeah.
And where you look down upon others who don't do this. It's like, yeah. I'm more fervent, I'm more zealous, therefore I'm better. And the people who don't pray as much are by, you know.
Well, yeah, because even myself, I have fallen into that with my poor prayer life. Like then I meet people who are like really poor, like actually poor praying for like, and but they're busy with life. And there's this quote I've shared all the time. It's I forget who said it. It was one of the saints, a more modern saint. He says, if me in the monastery, I pray whatever, you know, X amount of times a day, but you in the world with all the business of life and your family say, Kyrie Jesu Christe eleison me once or three times a day, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. I mean, you and I are equal, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, that always stood with me. I'm trying to find it and share it on my Instagram again, but.
St. Porphyrios, maybe.
Yeah, it might be him. So it's like, you can burn out, but it's, I think you're only going to, you burn out if you go to confession to a monk and it gives you something, a burden too heavy to bear, or you do it to yourself. But if you're just following the normal pious practice of quote unquote well-adjusted parishioner, I don't think you will, because the search services renew you.
Yes.
Right. That's why.
Yeah, like anything, I think extremes are bad and balance is good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, just like training, we were saying, you know, you have to listen to your body, give time to rest. You can't, like, you may love jiu-jitsu, but you can't train literally, like, okay, Mikey Musumeci, 11 hours a day. Okay, that's rare.
he's also, I don't know, autistic or something. So he
Yeah.
So it's a different type of focus, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, like I Taiwan, yeah, okay. So I train Taiwan, train every day. But that, yeah, that's, you have to adjust that philosophy too. You have to know, what are they saying in Greek? The pagans would say, how do you say it? Gnothe sut sevten, like know thyself.
Know yourself, right?
Yeah, so it's, you got to know yourself, right? Don't use that as an excuse to get out of training or doing things or prayer life or things you know you're capable of doing. But know your strengths and weaknesses and your limitations.
Yeah, yeah, like it's.
But that's also why you, in the spiritual life, you have a spiritual father, or if you don't have that, you still have a parish priest to guide you, or a confessor, whatever. And then in jiu-jitsu, you have your professor to guide you.
I agree. Yeah. In the end, it's like everything is like anything. The ego is the enemy, right? So it's like, yeah, if everything is ego driven, both your jiu-jitsu or your spiritual life, you're going to have problems. Yeah. Like, you know, if you don't listen to your spiritual father, you don't listen to the priest who tells you, okay, just do this. Like a lot of people, for example, they come and let's say they're young and they've never fasted before. Now we have the great fast coming up soon. You know, yeah, in a couple of weeks, we're going to start. And people say, oh, I want to, you know, I've never fasted before, but like, show me how to do the full fast. Hardcore, I want to do like the,
yeah,
right? And I recommend against that. I caution against it because I said, well, yeah, if you've never done it before, I would prefer that you just do meat. So let's do meat for 40 days, right? Like just cut out the meat, which is a huge thing already if you've never fasted before, and eat everything else. And let's do that consistently. Of course, also try to attend the services, if not at least Sunday, every Sunday, but also maybe add an extra, you know, Lenten service during the week, right? So I would say in Lent, you should be going to church more. So it's not just your Sundays, your standard, but maybe go to Prosanctified Liturgy on Wednesday night, right? Or Kiritisme, you know, the Salutation of the Virgin Mary, which is technically not a Lenten service, but you know what I mean? During, yeah, Lent, but add, or a great comp line if your church offers it, you know, add one more. So I tell people who have never done this before, they're like a novice. It's like, just do that. I want you to just do no meat. And I want you to add an extra service. And I want you to just do that consistently every single week for the 5 weeks of Lent, right? And then I want you to also go to Holy Week every single night, you know, attend all the services, do the whole journey from Lazarus Saturday all the way to the resurrection. Mm-hmm. So, and then that's not good enough for them. They're like, no, I only that. I'm like, trust me, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough for now. Let's see if you can do it. And then they always want to do more. A lot of people don't listen. They try to do more and then they fall, they fail because it's so hard. Or they don't even do what you tell them. So they won't do more, but they won't even do that because they thought it was easy, but they couldn't do it. Right. Mm-hmm. Or they start skipping the services or they start, you know, so I'm like, see, it's not as easy as you think. And it's better just to kind of do what you're told, not because, you know, you have forced obedience, but, you know, just listen to the person who has more experience. Right. It's the same thing in jiu-jitsu. I got lots of training partners who are like white belts who are coming in. Let's say they're young guys. They're all excited. And, you know, at our club, we have like the Gracie thing, right? So we got the Gracie combatives. They go through all that. They get their combatives belt. Then they're allowed to come to the advanced class and start rolling for the first time, right? So now they're rolling. And still, even though they have good fundamentals, rolling is a different thing altogether, right? It's real time and they don't know what they're doing. And you can tell it's like some people, they just do whatever. They're just working on whatever the instructor is working on that day. And that's good because they don't know anything else. And you need to be like spoon fed slowly, you know, like you got to build on your foundations. But then you have other people where they're watching all these instructionals, they're buying all these things online, they're watching 50,000, but because they don't have the skill set and they don't have the experience or the fundamentals yet to do those moves and to even attempt them, they try to do them and it's like it's a disaster in the rolling, like
the biblical story, the house built upon the sand.
Yeah.
they don't have the foundation,
but you want to build a mansion.
Yeah,
right? You want to build a mansion, but you still don't have bedrock, right? So, you know, it's like this happened like last week. I had this really nice guy and we were rolling and he's like trying to do all this. He was all spazzing all over the place. He's trying to do these weird things. You couldn't even tell what he was doing. I'm like, what are you trying to do? He goes, well, I saw this move. I saw this bolo I was trying to do. I'm like, you just started rolling like 2 months ago and you're trying to do bolos, right? Like, meanwhile, you haven't even perfected a toreando yet. You haven't perfected side control, proper maintaining of side control. You haven't perfected any type of submissions from mount. You don't know how to take the back properly. Like, it's like basic stuff. It's like, do that. I like to do all this. I like to do my own research. Like, I'm like, don't do your own research. Just listen to what your professor is doing right now and do what they tell you. How about that? and build on that. Like they do chapters, right? They build, like, at least in our gym, we do chapters, right? So we'll do a chapter on, you know, you'll do 2 weeks, maybe more, just on, like, you know, let's say side control escapes and, you know, also control, let's say. Then you go on to another chapter, right? And it's systematic and things build on each other. So it's easier to understand and remember and to string things together, right? I'm like, do that. You're better off doing that than being all over the place, right? So, but it's the ego. It's like, I want to learn something special more than the other guys. So when I come to roll, I'm going to catch them on something that my other fellow white belts who may not be doing this, well, maybe I'm going to know more because I did my John Danahar, you know, video marathon this weekend, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, no, don't do that. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's the same kind of conversations you have in the church too, I think. You'll have them more too, as if you haven't already, with parishioners.
Yeah. So far, it's just when it comes to fasting, I'm like, we try doing this. I'm like, well, and some people want to listen, right? They want to do more. Or won't listen. They want to do more. When you say just go vegetarian, and some people, it's like a relief when you say just go vegetarian. Like, oh, you can see, because like they were trying to do more, and like, especially if they try and do no oil, I try and explain to people. It's like, listen, like the no oil thing, you have to think these rules come from the monastery, and it's like they're not cooking their own food in the monastery. Every monk has his own diaconia, right? One guy's cleans the church, one guy is in the wood shop, one guy's in the garden, right? One guy's the priest, you know, and then you have the people in the kitchen. So the people in the kitchen are the ones making the food, not the other guy.
And you have no other options. It's whatever's put in front of them.
Yeah. And so it's like, how do you say it in Greek? Xerophagy, dry eating, right?
Yeah.
So it's about the richness of the food you can make with oil compared to boiled vegetables. And plus, in the monastery, they're only eating 2 meals a day anyways to begin with. Right, they
don't have,
there's no breakfast. There's the noonday meal and then deep no. So if you have to put this in context for people, right? It's like, so they understand it's not like this pharisaical burden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even if they want to move up to that, like they want to get to the point where they're doing, I hate using the word the full fast, but like, okay, they want to go to the letter of the law. They want to, like, you know, do the so-called perfect fast. It's like, okay, you want to get there, but like, you're not going to get there overnight. It's going to take a long time of slowly integrating that into your life. If you have a family, it's going to be harder. If you have children, there's going to be a lot. So it's like, it's really, really hard, and you have to like slowly do it. So just take it one step at a time, you know, like bench press the bar before you try to bench press 200 pounds, right? Like, you know, you got to do it gradually, and maybe you get there, maybe you don't, or maybe you got to stop, or maybe you got to augment it a bit. Right. And then, of course, everybody forgets about the other stuff, like about fasting, like, you know, giving alms, you know, poor. Oh, we don't do that, right? It's like you kind of miss the whole point, at least according to St. John Chrysostom. Mm-hmm. If you're not giving to the poor, you might as well not be fasting, right?
Yeah.
It's like trying to do that too. Like if somebody was giving, I don't know, for me, like as much as the good that you're doing for yourself, your soul, and for the other human beings, if you were just doing vegetarian and you're not doing full vegan, and you're like giving away a meal and you know, buying somebody else who's poor a meal every single day for Lent, you've done more good than if you did the strict vegan fast and just did it for yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe that's radical. Maybe some other Orthodox won't agree with me, but you've done a lot more good in your life and in the world to helping other human beings. And I think grasping the spirit of the fast, if you do that, then if you say, oh, I did full vegan, I followed all the rules according to my Orthodox app of, saying what foods I need to eat. But you didn't help anybody. Well, what's the point? You know, so you have to have a balance, and that's why you should listen to you listen to the priest, you listen to your instructor in jiu-jitsu, and you try to, you know, be humble in that sense, and then everything will work out slowly. Well, my friend, we are at, I think we're past we're past the 1 hour mark, my friend.
That went by really fast.
Yeah. And so I think we'll wrap it up. Good conversation. Going into Lent, you know, we got 2 weeks. So probably the next episode will probably air right at the beginning of Great Lent. I won't say a blessed fast yet for you, but, you know, we will probably be recording right at the beginning of the next thing, and that will be coming into we have the next couple of weeks. We have you know, we have meat fair now. We have, then we have cheese fair. Then we have forgiveness Sunday, forgiveness Vespers. And we go into clean Monday and we start on February 27th, which is clean Monday. We start the great fast, which is, you know, the most important and the, I guess the most intense time of the year. So I hope that you have a good preparation, and I know it's busy for us and for you. And yeah, I'll see you in a couple of weeks, Father. And for everybody else who's listening, we pray that everybody has a good fast coming up, a great Lenten season. And we'll be touching base and recording, of course, all the way up to Pascha, and then probably take a little break afterwards, as everybody does after that intense time. But we'll try to do as many episodes as we can before we get to great Holy Week. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Father Thomas, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good week.
Yeah, you too. And we'll see everybody in a couple of weeks. Take care.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests. Feel free to download us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, or anywhere else you get your content. Check us out on Instagram at The Fighting Priests. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at thefightingpriests@gmail.com. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul.